And on Fridays, we get together with our favorite political humorist and impersonator, Bill Melberg. You can learn more about Bill at aneveningwiththepresidents.com. Aneveningwiththepresidents.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen from Chicago, it's Bill Melberg. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, Bill. Great to talk to you. Good morning to you.
And good morning, Connect FM listeners.
Bill, Gary says that you and Stevie J have been getting together on the radio every Friday morning for the past 24 years. Is that true?
Oh, yes, it is. It is true, Diane. Absolutely correct, Gary. And you know what they say? Time flies when you're having fun. And I've had a lot of fun with these get-togethers every Friday morning with Stevie for the past 24 years and for the last year and a half with you, Diane.
Okay, good. Well, rather than introducing your usual cast of characters this morning, Gary and I thought it would be a fun interview to just talk to Bill Melberg.
Yeah, it is kind of fun because there's so much that goes on behind the scenes before Bill actually does the show with Stevie each morning and or every Friday morning. And Bill, we've had a fun time talking kind of in this similar way over the past few years on my radio show. And there's a lot about you and the process of what you do that our listeners don't know. So we thought it'd be fun to learn a little bit more about what you do and the man behind the voices. So this will be the first of two segments that we'll do. We'll do another one next Friday. And we'll learn a little bit more about Bill Melberg. So, Diane, why don't you ask the first question?
Thank you, Gary O'Brien. My first question is, when did you discover that you could impersonate other people's voices so well? Is that a talent, a blessing, or a curse? Or, tell us about the inside story.
Well, some people would tell you it's a curse because they're forced to listen to me. I guess it's a blessing. It's a gift to be able to mimic other people's voices, but it's also a talent because it's something I have to work at. And that's when it becomes a curse, because when I'm learning a new character, and I can't do just anybody, but when I am working on a new character, I sort of work them to death on friends and relations. And but you know, you have to have an audience somewhere to test the material.
Yeah.
But I you know, as far as when did I discover that I could impersonate voices, it was when I was a little kid doing cartoons, or cartoon characters. And I think the first was probably Popeye the Sailor Man. Huckleberry Hound and Yogi Bear and some of those characters. And then I started getting into some of the movie stars. And then as I got probably into junior high school or high school age, I started getting more interested in politics. So I started impersonating people like President Kennedy and President Nixon. And so that's kind of how I got into it. But it's just a natural gift. It's really kind of a thing with the ears, because I can hear in my mind these people talking, and I can see how they're performing. That's part of the thing. It's not just the voice. It's the style of speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, when you hear me do Henry Kissinger every so often, it's important to have the clearing his throat.
You know,
anyhow, I hope that answers that.
Yeah, Bill, you said it's a lot about the ears, and that might explain why you do Barack Obama so well.
or Ross Perot. I'm all ears.
Now, for me, Bill, I think the reason I really got interested in radio at a young age, I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I got a tape recorder. And so I used to do my own radio shows, and I had to have guests, of course. And so as like an 8-year-old kid, I did impressions, and I would do these people that were basically the same, and I'm wondering if you agree with this, that basically the same but a little bit different, like Howard Cosell, Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, and Richard Nixon. In a way, they're kind of all about the same with some minor changes, and they would be guests on my radio show. No, this is Howard Cosell. Of course, I wasn't good like you. I just kind of did the inflections.
So you had a split personality, too.
I still do. Still do. But when did you first perform publicly? When did you take this talent that you found out that you had and realize that you might be able to entertain other people instead of just yourself?
Well, I always have enjoyed my own material. So.
Me too. Tell me.
I'm a wonderful audience of
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Me too. You should have heard me laugh after I did Howard Cosell and Richard Nixon.
Me too.
But actually, I mean, since you mentioned it, I was, I mean, you might find this hard to believe knowing me, but
yes.
I was very introverted as a kid. I mean, really shy.
You know what? Just to interrupt you for a second, that is not unlike so many other classic comedians like Jack Benny and Johnny Carson. Yeah. We're very shy.
Also, Edgar Bergen, Candace Bergen's father, was a ventriloquist. He used his dummies to talk for him.
On the radio, but, by the way, which always killed me, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, my parents were actually concerned when I was real young that I wasn't talking. And perhaps I was just listening at that point. I did not have a lot to say. But I've made up for that since.
Yes, you have.
But it was really during high school that, you know, when I say I was introverted, it's not like I was a complete wallflower, but I did have a circle of friends, and at the lunch table every day, I would do my impersonations. And one of my friends told the chairman of the speech and drama department at our high school. It was Maine South High School in Park Ridge, Illinois, which is Hillary Clinton's high school.
No.
I was a few years behind her, and I still am. But it was a very large school. We had 3,200 kids, so about 800 kids per class. And the annual variety show was a huge thing at that school. And the chairman of the speech and drama department, who was the director of the variety show, called me down to his office one afternoon because one of my friends had told me that I used to do impersonations at the lunch table. And I did not know this teacher. I knew of him, but I thought, what have I done wrong to get called down to this guy's office? Well, he told me, I understand you do impersonations. Let me hear you do Ed Sullivan. Hmm. So I said, well, are we on the air? Now, before we bring out John Wayne, Liz Taylor, Canadian comedy team Wayne and Schuster, Enrico Fermi and his dancing protons. But anyhow, he thought it was terrific. Hmm. And he said, oh, that's perfect. You're going to MC the whole variety show as Ed Sullivan.
Good.
And I said, well, now, wait a minute. I've never been on a stage in my life. I don't think I could do anything like that. Well, he was very encouraging, and he got some of my friends to work on me, so I finally agreed to do it. And first night out, the first show, the audience ate it up, and I ate up the applause and the laughter, and as Mr. Martello was the gentleman's name, he said, I think I've created a monster.
I believe it.
Because before we were even done with that year's five programs, I was planning the following year's show.
Awesome.
That's funny. You know how Ed Sullivan would find a celebrity in the audience and just make them stand up for some applause? Did you do that and say, hey, here's the principal, stand up? And
well, actually, I did that. I think it's still the funniest bit I've ever done, but it's very politically incorrect, and I don't think we can do it anymore.
Okay. Isn't that funny?
But all I will tell you is I introduced Helen Keller in the audience.
Oh, Bill.
Because nasty high school boys were telling terrible jokes back then.
Yeah, I heard a few of those, too.
Yeah. But,
now, as far as moving...
That really brought the house down when I did the bit. But I did introduce various people in the audience.
And you have a little bit of variety and freedom when you're doing your own act like that. But when you moved into, like, professional entertainment, how was that transition?
Well, I had to be more politically correct.
Yes.
But one other thing. By the way, also, I had Topo Gigio.
Oh, you did.
Hello, Eddie. But...
A classic Ed Sullivan act.
Oh, a little Italian mouse, the
yes.
puppet. But Mr. Martello, when he said I was going to be in that variety show, he said, I'm going to team you up with a funny kid who's a fantastic piano player. And I thought to myself, well, what on earth would the piano have to do with what I do? But he said, well, you're going to like this kid. He's very funny. His name is Kent Wayman. He's a year behind you.
Ah, yes.
And... Kent accompanied me, and I introduced him as Liberace, and he came out with a wild outfit that his mom had made for him. And this was 40-some years ago, and Kent and I are still working together professionally all across the country. And he accompanies me. And Gary, you know that from the TV specials.
Sure. I know Kent, and you guys have been over 40 years now. I mean, just a great team. And without Kent, you know, your act would be totally different.
Well, it'd be without music.
It would be without music. Yes.
But to answer your question about how did I make the transition into professional business, when you're a kid and you do a show like that in the high school and people get to know, like Kent, everyone in the whole town knew what a fantastic musician he was because he was extremely talented even as a high school kid at the piano. And everyone seemed to know that I did the impersonation. So you get requests from the local service clubs like Kiwanis and Rotary or church groups, will you perform at one of our fundraisers? And a lot of kids start out, no matter whether they have a band or whatever their talent is, they start out that way. And one thing leads to another, and pretty soon I was doing fundraisers for politicians, and then for politicians across the country, and then for corporate groups, and it tends to snowball like that. So, but you do have to be more careful what you say than when you're a high school kid.
You're right about that. We're visiting with Bill Milberg here on Connect FM 93.5, 95.3. I want to find out about how you met Stevie J, but we are going to take a quick break here on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. Bill Milberg, thank you so much for sharing your talents and your insight this morning here on Connect FM 93.5, 95.3. Getting ready to get back into it now as we talk to our political humorist and satirist, Bill Milberg from Chicago. Hello, Bill. Still with us, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. That pause scared Diane.
No!
You should have seen her. She jumped about a foot in the air. All right, Bill. Gary O'Brien here sitting in with Diane Ducey today as Stevie J is gone. Stevie J is out of the country, so we can talk and be honest here.
Good.
Tell us how you met Stevie J and how you began that association.
Well, you guys probably know a mutual friend, Lou Lier.
Oh, Lou. Yeah, good friend of mine.
Absolutely. Lou was the executive director of the Illinois Alumni Association, University of Illinois Alumni Association, and I'm a University of Illinois alum. And Lou introduced me to Stevie about 1987, 1988. And so Stevie asked if he could do an interview just like we're doing this morning. And I said, sure, and we did. And he asked me to do a little President Reagan, since he was president at the time. And I said, oh, all right, hello, Stevie. Actually, I always used to call him Jay.
I remember that, yeah.
But anyhow, Stevie said, well, maybe we ought to do this every week on Fridays. And I said, well, we'll give it a we'll try it. And well, that's 24 years ago. So that's how I met Stevie.
Your TV specials too. I want to mention that before we run out of time here.
Which were so much fun, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, I don't exactly remember. It might have been Stevie's idea that we should do a PBS special, which we taped over at WILL TV. And they liked the idea, but they said you're going to need a corporate sponsor, and that's when I met Brother Johnny.
Okay, good.
Because Brother Johnny very graciously and generously agreed to have VersaBar sponsor the program. So we actually did two PBS specials, which aired nationwide and even in parts of Canada. I turned on the television in a hotel in Canada one day just as I was coming on the air on my show.
How cool!
But the second show was really the better one. And Gary, you were in the audience asking President Clinton a question that night.
I remember. And that was so much fun to be a part of that show. I asked President Clinton the question. I forgot what the question was.
I think you were Gary O'Brien from Mule Shoe, Arkansas.
That's right.
And I said, that's up by evening shade, isn't it? And then you said, well, what's it like living in the governor's mansion in Arkansas and now in the White House? What are the differences? I said, well, the biggest difference is the indoor plumbing. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Phil.
And I kissed a baby on the way into the studio that night.
Excellent.
So, that was Nathaniel Cacciatore.
That's right. That's right. And let me ask you real quickly about that show. You've been doing radio here. Of course, you do public speaking. But was it difficult? More difficult doing television because you had to kind of look like them as well as sound like them.
bus, we had to have the sets, you know.
That's right.
We had a set for Andy Rooney. He did, "Hello, I'm Andy Rooney," and he had to have one set. We had Paul Harvey. He had another set. We had Jimmy Carter, "This Old White House." So we had a workshop set. I had did Julia Child, the French chef. We actually used Stevie and Janet's kitchen for that. So it's just so time-consuming to you know, create those sets and have the lighting all right and everything. And that's the beauty of radio, is that we can, you know, use just a little, well, people's imagination to create the sets.
That special
and of course,
still pops
Gary,
up. Go ahead.
You got us. You got me and Stevie as a warm-up act for Joel Grey.
That's right, at the Assembly Hall. Spent, 22 years at the Assembly Hall, and Joel Grey was performing, and we needed an opening act, and you and Stevie just did such an incredible job on the air. We thought, hey, it'd be fun to try to do it on stage, and it was really fun. The crowd really ate it up.
Well, I mean, after they stopped throwing the apples and
Listen
everything at
you.
Us and the booing, it was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun, and that was a great night.
Well, we're about out of time. I think we should continue this next week because Stevie J's gone next Friday, too. So
we can do whatever we want.
Well,
we'll talk more about Stevie.
But would you mind a part two next week?
I'll be happy to be with the two of you again.
Excellent.
That'll be fun.
Bill Melberg, next week we'll continue this conversation on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. Gary, thanks for being here.
That was great.
Enjoy
always.
Enjoy the day.